Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I'm bad.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. It's great to be with you as always, and thank you for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I'm excited about having our friend Jack Oldrich back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Jack, as you know, is an outstanding writer, a very prolific writer. He's a speaker and a consultant to companies all over the world. You first met him when he introduced the next big thing. He talked about nanotechnology, kind of introduced us to nanotechnology, actually. And then he wrote a book about Lewis and Clark called Into the Unknown, and now he's got another book out that I think you're going to like a lot, Leadership Lessons from George C. Marshall, Soldier, Statesman, Peacemaker. He's our good friend Jack Oldrich. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, and you just continue to amaze me, Jack. You're such a prolific writer on such a wide variety of topics. You know, I always tell my audience, we don't have anybody but smart people in our brain trust, and you're the poster child for that, I think.
Well, thanks. You know, one of the reasons I write about historical characters is because I think, you know, looking back in history actually makes the future it's one way to sort of approach the future. I mean, if we can learn from the past, we see the opportunities and some of the things that we're going to have to deal with in the future. And so I think I just like to tell stories and open people's mind to the possibilities of leading into the future.
Well, one of the things you've done here is remind us about a great American, a truly great American, General George Marshall, former outstanding soldier in the early part of the 20th century. One of the great figures of World War II. He became Secretary of State. He became the president of the Red Cross. I mean, the guy was just he was also the chief of staff all completely during World War II, wasn't he?
That's right. You know, I mean, the scope of his life is almost so large. I think that's one of the reasons why many Americans have forgotten him. But, I mean, he is the one who essentially built the United States Army from a small force of less than 200,000 in 1939.
It was smaller than Bulgaria's army, as you point out, I think.
That's right.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
well, I want you to come back to that, but... But if you've read David Brinkley's book, Washington Goes to War, mm-hmm. He says prior to World War II, Washington was a sleepy little southern town. And so in a lot of ways, America was not the powerhouse in terms of geopolitics that it is today in those days, was it?
That's right. And, I mean, we really have George Marshall to thank for turning us into this superpower. I mean, he's the one who took the army from that small force, turned it into a 8 million person juggernaut that was the most powerful military force the world had ever seen. But he did so much more than that. You know, after the war, he instituted the Marshall Plan that helped rebuild Europe, that really kept Europe and the world secure during the nuclear era for 50 years, twice named Time Magazine's Man of the Year, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize later in life for his role in instituting the Marshall Plan, but did so many other things, and we still have so much to learn from him. I mean, the argument I make is we need more selfless leaders like George Marshall today, perhaps more than ever, and he's just a great example to look to.
Where do we, you know... modern generations know the Marshall Plan. They probably heard of somewhere in their studies of World War II in that era. They heard of George C. Marshall, but most of us don't know much about him, do we?
That's right. And here's why. But he should have been the one to lead America into battle in Europe. He should have led the D-Day invasion by every right. Knowledge, seniority, experience. He was better than Dwight Eisenhower, but
he was Eisenhower's mentor, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He pulled Dwight Eisenhower out of obscurity. He was a relatively junior officer, but Marshall said, this guy has talent. I'm going to promote him over hundreds of more senior Army officers. But when the time came to appoint that general, Roosevelt said to George Marshall, he said, look, you deserve this, but you know what? You are so important to the overall global war effort. I need you here in Washington, D.C. I can't sleep with you out of the country. And he even knew that history only sort of recalls the great battlefield general.
Right.
So he knew what he was doing, but Marshall was that important.
Well, he was in many ways the Geppetto of many of the things that were going on. When we come back, we're gonna talk about some of the lessons, some of the leadership lessons we can learn from this great man and will help us in our small businesses. 20 Tail will be right back with our good friend, Mr. Jack Ogden. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Jack Goldrick is here too, folks. He's our good friend, the author of a number of books, including his brand new one, Soldier, Statesman, Peacemaker, Leadership Lessons from General George C. Marshall. Jack, the book's available wherever books are sold, right?
That's right, yep.
You got a website of your own you want to give us?
I do. It's called Speaking of Leaders, and that's all sort of one word.
Right.
And you can find copies of the book there and other articles I've written about other historical leaders.
Including, don't forget, the Leadership Lessons from Lewis and Clark is still available, called Into the Unknown. Jack, there seems to be quite a few books over the last 5 or 6 years where people have gone into history and pulled out the great lessons, the great thoughts, the great principles of great people. There seems to be an appetite for that these days. And do you have any particular thoughts on why that is?
I do. I think it's because, you know, people don't want to just hear about theories and principles. They actually want to see how those theories and principles were applied in real life. And the best way to do that is to look at, you know, historical leaders, great leaders, and sort of see the challenges they faced, and then, you know, by telling the story, see how they dealt with those, and then look for ways that that your situation sort of in business applies, or that you can find sort of certain examples. And so, and that's what I do in my book. I always talk about these principles, but then I apply them to other real-world business examples that have happened in the last few years.
Do you think people that there are people in this generation in the last 20 years that people will be writing about? I mean, I think Reagan certainly people are and will be writing about, but are there other people that you think, I mean, have we outgrown, I shouldn't say outgrown, but have we evolved beyond having the kind of great people like George C. Marshall?
I don't think we have. I mean, I think that they're still out there. I mean, I really think that Colin Powell is a great example, whose own life matches quite closely what Marshall did. I mean, he was head of the military, and then he became Secretary of State. But one of the great things about both Powell and Marshall is they were remarkably candid to the presidents they served. And I think it's one of the great lessons of George Marshall.
That was one of the lessons you should write about, is his candor.
Yeah, speak your mind, that the world is moving so fast, and there are companies, governments, you know, today's leaders have to be told the truth. And often they're not, and we've seen what's happened when they're not. Enron, WorldCom, Global Crossing, all of these. There were people in those companies who knew what was going on, but they refused to be candid with their leaders or with the public. And yet when they are, you know, we still applaud it. Colin Rowley, the FBI agent, you know, was a great example of candor.
Well, Jack, one of the reasons why some of those people in with Enron and some of the others might not have felt like being candid is because of one of the other, a lack of one of the other lessons that you write about General Marshall, and that's integrity. They probably could look around themselves and look up in the top floors of those buildings and say, you know what, I don't see a lot of integrity there.
That's right. And this book, I start, the number one principle is integrity. I mean, it is about doing the right thing. And, you know, this is something that, I mean, that has to be taught. And, I mean, we have to get back in a lot of our business schools and other curriculum of just talking about ethics and talking about doing the right thing. There's a CEO of a company here in the Twin Cities called Medtronic, Bill George, great leader, but has always done the right thing because he understands that, you know, look, it's not just about making a profit the next quarter, that businesses, other institutions have a responsibility to society as well, long term. And that means often doing the right, well, it always means doing the right thing, but sometimes it means not doing what is in the short-term interest of your shareholders.
One of our top ethics experts in the Brain Trust, Lynn Morella, in his book In Search of Ethics, he says that ethical behavior is devotion to the unenforceable.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a great definition?
Yeah, that really is. You know, the one thing I would urge your listeners to do is and why I think George Marshall is so fantastic as an example is, for 30 years, he labored through the Army ranks. I mean, he was not predestined to be this great general. I mean, he really sort of had to work for 30 years.
He paid his dues, didn't he?
Up his rank. But throughout those 30 years, he always did the right thing. Often when it could have been, it slowed his career down. But, you know, he said, this is the right thing to do. And I'd be happy to give you a couple examples.
I would like that.
Well, I think the first one is, one time he was teaching at an Army college, and it was all white officers at the time, but there were a couple of black reserve officers, and some white officers came up and said, get rid of these officers. And George Marshall was serving down in South Carolina. You know, nobody was looking. It could have made his life really easy, but he said, no, I'm not going to do it. They're officers in the United States Army, and regardless of the color of their skin, they're going to be here, they're going to learn here, and if you don't like it, you can leave. And this is in the 1930s in the Deep South, and didn't go over well with a lot of the white officers there, but clearly it was the right thing to do, and Marshall stood his ground, and the type of thing we should remember him for.
When we come back after these messages, I'm going to ask Jack, we're going to talk about some other lessons that we can learn from General George C. Marshall, and as written in Jack's book, Soldier, Statesman, Peacemaker. And I'm also going to ask him if he thinks maybe the pace of our lives today contributes to maybe a little bit of some of the lack of integrity that we see. We're going to do that right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our friend Jack Oldrich, the author of Soldier, Statesman, Peacemaker, Leadership Lessons from George C. Marshall. George C. Marshall, ladies and gentlemen, Winston Churchill once called the last great American. Jack, thank you for writing such an outstanding accounting of not only the general, but these principles that he not only espoused, but that he lived: integrity, action, selflessness, candor, preparation, learning and teaching, fairness, vision, and caring. Folks, these are all some of the things that you'll learn about when you read Jack's book. And Jack, I hope you'll come back again in the not-too-distant future, and let's cover a few more of these. But I have a question for you. Do you think that the way the marketplace is going these days, the speed of everything, do you think that that's not only compressing time, but it's squeezing and compressing a lot of our lives? It's certainly compressing the globe. I mean, everything, nothing is very far away anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think in that compression that it's squeezing out the patience that we may have had years ago? You know, courage, being courageous, Jack, as you know, is bravery when you've had time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you when things are moving so fast, sometimes it seems like we don't have time to think about it, and maybe we overreact. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a really good point, and let me just bring it back to Marshall. He was the head of the Army in the 20s, and he started training the next generation of officers, and he said, look, we have to start preparing for the first 6 months of the next war, and this next war is going to be unlike anything you guys have prepared for. It is going to move at lightning speed, and he said, what you have to do is you have to stay flexible, you have to be creative, but here's what you have to do. You have to act, and you have to act with less than perfect information, and you can't be afraid to do that. You know, a lot of people want 100% certainty, or they want all the information. You can't do that these days, and that lesson is only more true today because the pace, as you've said rightly, has only, you know, grown faster, and it's only going to continue.
Well, and you know, with the way things have gone for us in the last 5 to 10 years, really, if you think about it, I mean, you point out that he had less than 200 United States soldiers in 1939, and within 6 years, there were over 8 million people had been deployed in this war in the U.S. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty rapid change, isn't it?
That is. And, you know, one of the great keys to his success is, I mean, he clearly saw, look, things are moving so fast. You know what? There's no way I can do this all by myself. So what I have to do is I have to train future leaders myself. And to his credit, Marshall, again in the 20s, he trained 200 future generals men who became generals in the war. And so the lesson for today's leaders is start helping those people under you in your business. Train them, you know, teach them how to be ethical people, but also teach them how to act. Tell them to speak the truth, because they're the ones who are going to help you and your business survive in this new environment. You can't do it yourself. Marshall knew that, you know, you have to go out and spot your Dwight Eisenhowers, your Omar Bradleys, your George Pattons. They're out there. They're under you today, but you have to spot them, help train them, because they're the people who are going to help you survive in the future.
And he didn't just pontificate and expect people to absorb what he said. He actively mentored people, didn't he?
He really did, yeah. And there are some great examples in the book. But he sat down with Dwight Eisenhower almost on a daily basis. And then during the war, he corresponded with him on a daily basis. And, you know, Eisenhower was still fairly young and still learning. And he really came to rely on George Marshall and his wisdom and experience.
Well, and he found out he learned how to manage all the egos too, didn't he? Because he knew that he had, just because someone had an ego didn't mean that they couldn't be productive. He found a way to do that, didn't he?
That's right. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have to deal with some egos in their jobs. But, you know, he had to deal with Churchill, De Gaulle, MacArthur, Patton. These are pretty big egos.
Right.
And George Marshall did find a way to say, look, you know, all of those people have great strengths, and my job is to tap into them without sort of letting their overbearing personalities get in the way.
So, Jack, we got to wrap it up, but there's a lot more to talk about. Will you come back and talk to us some more about General Marshall's leadership lessons?
I would love to, Jim.
Give us your website one more time, please.
Again, it's www.speakingofleaders, and that's all one word, .com.
All right. Thanks, Jack Oldrich, for the book, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Jim.
Soldier, Statesman, Peacemaker. Find it wherever books are sold, folks. It's a good book. You and I can learn a lot from this general. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.